This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. When a patient heads home from the hospital, the last thing they want is to be part of the revolving door of readmissions that can cost the healthcare industry and government programs like Medicare or Medicaid billions of dollars each year. And it doesn't have to happen. Joining me by telephone to help us understand how is Laura Bronstein, interim dean and professor of social work at the College of Community and Public Affairs at Binghamton University, and Chris Marks, the manager of the Medical Social Work Department at United Health Services of Greater Binghamton. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you.
So, Laura, you and Chris have just teamed up to develop a new program. And I understand you've been using social workers to keep recently discharged patients healthy and out of the hospital. But it was an actual study that you undertook. Tell us about it. Tell us about the study, Laura.
Okay.
What was the mission? What was the concept behind it?
Okay. Well, at Binghamton University, we have a part of the Institute for Intergenerational Studies. We have a center on aging, a research center on aging. And Dr. Sean Berkowitz, who's on the faculty at Upstate and also works at the Greater Binghamton at Wilson Hospital with Chris, is a partner with me in that research center. And Dr. Berkowitz is a geriatrician, but who really values social workers and sees them as being underutilized. And so together we looked at the problem of readmission, and especially with the new Affordable Care Act concern about readmissions and the financial penalties for hospitals that have higher than average readmission rates, to see, is there a way we could utilize social workers to actually bring down the readmission rate, especially with older adults? And so we wanted to look at implementing that, but also wanted to look at it as the scientific basis of it and to set up a research study to see, we may believe that social workers would help, but can we get some data that will actually show that they can help in this work?
So how exactly...
And we went to Chris as the manager of social work at the hospital to talk to her about supervising MSW interns from Binghamton University to be trained in a method to help patients be able to not readmit to the hospital and to do this as part of a randomized controlled trial.
Yes, so before I get to Chris, because I want to get more of the details of exactly what took place with the social workers, Laura, tell me, how many patients did you look at? Who were the patients and what was the theory underlying all of this?
Okay. Well, we have now conducted the study with 100 patients, about split pretty evenly between the control group and the experimental group. All older adults were. I think Chris, was it 60 years old that was our cutoff for
55.
Age? 55 years old and older, and who scored high on the LACE index. Which is an index that can be used to assess risk for rehospitalization. And so these were all patients that that scored high on that we thought had high risk of potential rehospitalization. And so at the time that they were being considered for discharge, we had one of the social work MSW students approach somebody who fell into this category to ask them if they would be interested in having a visit from themselves, from an MSW intern, when they returned home to help them be able to remain at home. And if they said yes, then depending upon their patient number, they would be either entered into the control group or the experimental group. The control group got the regular follow-up care that's provided at the hospital, and then those patients in the experimental group had a follow-up by a social work intern, at least a phone call initially, and at least one home visit, and often one follow-up phone call within 30 days.
So, Chris, tell me in a little bit more detail, what did the students do? I mean, what was their role exactly?
Their role was pretty extensive. We would, as they came in on their days of work, we would run the list of patients and screen for the criteria that Laura has previously mentioned. We would look at the LACE tool scoring. It was something that was generated within our computer program through the hospital, and it flagged everyone that hit the criteria that we wanted. And the students would then screen those patients that came up meeting criteria to determine if they met the going home criteria as well. They would collaborate with staff on the units, interface with them to determine if it was definitely going to be a home discharge and what the circumstances were around that. Once it met that criteria as well, the students would then reach out to the patients and any loved ones that were a part of that process and explore the interest and the opportunity of receiving and being a part of this research study.
So and once, they, go ahead. Mm-hmm. No, you go ahead.
And so then once that piece was agreed to, as Laura had mentioned, they would from there begin the process of exploring whether they fit into the control or the intervention group. They would notify the patient of which particular portion they were in, and if they were going to receive services, they then set that up, followed the patient through the remainder of their stay at the hospital, and then set the plan in motion for follow-up after discharge.
But clearly, what you were studying here was the nature of their intervention following the discharge. So
absolutely.
What specifically did they do?
They looked into, do you mean as far as, I'm sorry, I want to just get clarification on your question.
Yes, what did they do with the patients? What were their conversations about, for example?
More of the conversations took place upon receiving the interventions when they would phone call home and
yes.
then do the home visits
yes.
and the follow-up. They would explore with them, how was your discharge, how did it go? Were you comfortable with the discharge plan? Were there any gaps, any areas that were missed? Is there something that we can do that you've realized now that you've gotten home, maybe you declined a certain service and you wish that you had it? What can we do to help you facilitate getting that in place? Or if there's something that's in place but it doesn't seem to be meeting the need, what can we add, what can we supplement? Are you making appointments? Are there any barriers to maintaining a healthy lifestyle or the things that are put in place for the discharge plan that we can assist with? Sometimes it was transportation. Sometimes it was coordinating and making sure that oxygen was being delivered at an appropriate and a helpful time for family members that couldn't be there at the time of delivery and they made different arrangements. Other times it was concerns about, I don't know about, you know, this appointment with the doctor, I seem really confused. Well, let's make the call now. A lot of empowerment. I think the phrase that Dr. Sean Berkowitz uses the most is not, you know, providing fish, but teaching them how to fish. You know, really empowering them and letting them know they can actively participate in their health process with their healthcare providers and saying and helping them just take the steps of let's make a phone call, let's see what we can do. And then there were times that they actively advocated for the patients as well.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, and I'm here on the phone with Laura Bronstein, professor of social work at the College of Community and Public Affairs at Binghamton University, and Chris Marks. She is the manager of the Medical Social Work Department at United Health Services of Greater Binghamton. And we're talking about a study that they did recently to find out if we could prevent patient readmissions. So what I guess I'm hearing is that you really looked at the entire environment into which the patient was readmitted, their home environment, and tried to shore up or tweak available services so that the patient would have everything they needed and empowered them so that they would feel that they were a strong participant in their own health care.
Absolutely.
Is that correct, Chris?
That's a perfect summation. Absolutely.
So, Laura, tell us, when you talk about the high-risk types of patients, I don't, you know, that scale that you used, what were the things that determined a patient to be high risk?
It had to do with that. I'm going to have Chris help me with this. I think the L in LACE is length of stay. The A stands for acuity of illness. The C, help me out, Chris, with the C and the E. What
comorbidities?
Yep, so if they had other problems in yes. addition to why they were hospitalized.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the last one was ED visits.
Oh, whether they had come to an emergency department or not.
Correct.
So you're really looking at their prior history or their current history to determine whether they might be someone who would be likely to be readmitted.
Correct.
Correct.
Chris, I'm curious
Correct.
About one thing. Besides, obviously, the tremendous cost savings that would be accrued by not being readmitted, were there other benefits to the patient by not having to clearly be readmitted? Can you help us understand those?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Emotionally, spiritually, people want to be home. They want to be with their loved ones in their own environment. And having the autonomy and the independence to function in their world in that capacity was very inspiring to many of them, to really feel like they owned it. And I think definitely psychologically, spiritually, psychosocially, families felt empowered by it too. So I think it had far-reaching effects for the individual patients as well as the loved ones in their life.
It seems to me that a readmission can really hurt a patient in a lot of ways, especially if they're, you know, elderly. I mean, I've read where people who are okay in their environment, when they enter a hospital and get back home, they can be somewhat disoriented. And so your role and your intervention clearly could play a very important role in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think often there are very complex reasons, clinical, medical reasons, that people need to go back into the hospital. But much more often than that, there's reasons that really can be addressed. Things like Chris mentioned, transportation, things like people being uncertain when their next appointment to their primary care provider is, having the right food that they need in their home for the diet that they got sent home from the hospital with, having the prescriptions that they need. And so the social work interns did a lot of listening to what could potentially be the barriers to this person being able to stay at home, and then supported them in putting in place a plan to get those things addressed.
Yeah, it sounds incredibly important. I mean, even things like, for example, in central New York, where we have very tough winters, maybe having their sidewalk shoveled making sure their steps were, you know, not too icy or broken down or whatever. So there was this really kind of comprehensive look at their entire environment.
Without a doubt.
So in the little bit of time we have left, Laura, take us through what you've actually found, because you're starting to compile your findings.
Right, and we did a preliminary analysis before we got to 100 patients, and at that point we did find a statistically significant difference between the readmissions of the control group and the experimental group, where people who had received the services of the social work intern had statistically significant fewer rehospitalizations. And now that we're up to the 100 patients mark, and we're not finished with our analysis, but our data is looking even better, that there's even more there are even more people that have been able to remain at home with this intervention, which is not a very time-intensive intervention. I think most of these social work home visits were between half an hour and 45 minutes, and then one or two phone calls. So we're talking about really a little bit of time relative to what the social, emotional, and medical and financial savings are.
And it sounds like, Chris, from your standpoint, it was a really good use of the social workers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will also say that the social workers themselves loved being a part of it, loved that aspect of working with the families and the patients in their home environment, seeing them outside of, you know, the hospital setting, and really having a role in that empowerment and advocacy for the patients and their families.
So it sounds like hospitals, if they could duplicate this model, could save hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars every year, from what you're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I
think absolutely, and we have had people, frankly, from around the country who've gotten in touch with us and asked us about this, and who are looking to duplicate.
Well, thank you both so much for sharing this great information. My guests have been Laura Bronstein, Interim Dean and Professor of Social Work at the College of Community and Public Affairs at Binghamton University, and Chris Marks, the Social Work Manager of the Medical Social Work Department at the United Health Services of Greater Binghamton. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.